Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report. With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you tell us. We know that that Braxton Jones, the starting left tackle, came in this week with concussion symptoms, and he is a scratch. He will not be able to go tonight in Minnesota. We've been wondering how they will man that position, what that means. Will they max protect? How will they get away with surviving this Vikings defense without their starting left tackle? I'm not saying that Braxton Jones is the best player on the team, but the fact of the matter is they failed to score touchdowns in the two games that he missed, both Arizona and New England, maybe the worst loss of the year at home to New England. Who's going to start in that spot, and would they be willing to do something radical to sort of cover for that position?
I don't think you're going to do anything radical when you're looking at a shift that occurs on a Sunday before a Monday night game.
Man,
I would guess that Karan Amagaji gets the start, and that's just guessing here. I mean, when Larry Borum has been out there this year, he's struggled, right? And I think. You know, you look at Borum and you say he can handle right tackle for you. He can play inside a guard. He looks like he's a little out of place at left tackle. Perhaps it's Borum. You know, Amagaji was on the injury report not too long ago. He's been off it for at least a couple weeks. He's played some this year, right? He's played a little bit. Perhaps this is an opportunity for him. You'd maybe hope that he had an entire week of running with the first team in practice, which he didn't. You'd hope that maybe it would be a home game. It's not. He's gotten 58 snaps on offense this season, and it could be his moment tonight against the Vikings.
Now, that's cringeworthy for a lot of people to hear, and you worry about Caleb Williams when you hear it. But really, That is the most logical direction to go for a team that's eliminated from the playoffs officially yesterday, in the midst of a 7-game losing streak, soon to be 8. Player development is something they have to focus on over the final 4 games. And you got a 3rd-round draft pick who is your next option, as Mully shakes his head in disgust. But that's the direction they have to go, isn't it, Brad?
I'm not in disgust. I'm in shock. I mean, I just don't know how Caleb survives this.
As a unit, they did all right protecting against the Vikings last time. Now, I think I said it last week when we talked, the degree of difficulty has gone up because this is a road game. They're going to have to deal with the crowd noise, which is going to be probably at a fevered pitch when you consider how the Vikings have been playing, that it's a night game, all of those factors. But they're only missing one of the guys. Yeah, it's suboptimal, but there's that kind of goes in line with a lot of what we've seen this season. It's been suboptimal.
What's the over-under on sacks?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's you'd like to see it under 5, right? Mm. Like if you're just
but
looking
think
at it.
About saying, that.
I take the over.
I take the over, too. What, they give up 7 last time out? And I'm not being mean, Brad, and you're right. You would probably put it at 5, but that seems like 5 too many going into a game knowing, you know, here's the other thing. You can't run against these guys, not successfully. It's not like you can just...
Right, no, they've got to come up with... They have got to be able to get first downs. They have... It's just imperative that they get some first downs, be able to move the ball, especially early. Like, they can't be bewildered from the start against this Vikings defense. And it was a slow start against Minnesota in the first meeting before they got cooking. You know, they kind of got things figured out there. They were able to miraculously get that game into overtime. And they've talked, you know, one thing we've heard Thomas Brown talk about a couple times is being more aggressive. So what will that look like? Maybe it's a 2-man route or a 3-man route early where you're trying to pick up a chunk play or a 15 to 20 yard game because they can't run it on 1st and 10 and think that we prop this and we're going to be at 2nd and 2. It is tough sledding against that Vikings run defense, and the Bears have had a difficult time running the ball really against everyone they've played of late, with the exception of the Packers. They had a really nice game on the ground against the Packers, and everything else has been pretty difficult for them.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. All right, Brad, I don't know if there's anything to this, but I'm just curious because we discussed it earlier. Maybe the Bears are more diligent about concussion protocol or looking for signs or symptoms or encouraging their players, but Braxton Jones is now the 4th player that has gone down this year with a concussion. We know about Jaquan Brisker. Ryan Bates has been on concussion protocol and in concussion protocol for a very long time. Roshan Johnson's unavailable because of a concussion, and now Braxton Jones. Is it something about maybe the Bears' reporting process that is more thorough or detailed than other teams, or is this standard? Do you look around the league, you'll find 4 guys who might be suffering from concussions as well?
Yeah, I don't think 4 is a number that really jumps out when you talk about being this deep into the season with what, 4 ball games to play. That and they may have had another one or two mixed in there that was real short. I'd have to go back and really look at it, but no, I don't think that's a high number, and they affect everyone a little bit differently. They arrive a little bit differently in terms of the timing, and obviously the timing of Braxton sort of reporting his symptoms was later than usual, but it's a violent game, and hopefully he's better and out of protocol sooner rather than later, but we just don't know how that'll go. And again, the difficult thing is, like, Karan didn't get first team reps starting on when they had the walkthrough on Thursday, and when they had a practice on Friday. That's a difficult thing for him.
Well, I mean, he didn't get training camp, right? And that make it right. difficult too. He had no off season. I mean, I'm not down on Karan Amagaji. I'm just wondering, could they move Darnell Wright? Could they try? Something radical. Could they do?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what their best configuration is, Brad. And this just seems like it might not be. And you worry about the quarterback already taking, 56 hits or something, sacks. You're going to get dangerously close to that David Carr number if you keep this up.
Yeah, I don't think you move Darnell Wright like that. I mean, he's had knee issues. He's had some injuries of late himself. He's not taking snaps on the left side at all. Because your replacement at right tackle isn't going to be something where you're like, this is great. You know, like this guy could be the man here. That guy's not on the roster. They've got, one other possibility here is Jake Curran,
yeah,
who has gotten, about 85, 86 snaps for them this season. And he's a guy that has played more, I think, tackle in his career than guard. So I think it's probably a Curran or Karan discussion. I just don't think Larry is a guy they'd be looking at. Now, could Larry potentially will Larry be active? Yeah, he could be active. He was inactive last week. I think he's got a possibility of being active here, but I think it's probably between Jake Curran and Karan Amagaji.
Brad, you write about the coaching situation in this morning's Tribune, chicagotribune.com, and I just wonder what you thought watching the 48-42 Bills-Lions game. Was that Joe Brady getting the upper hand on Ben Johnson in the coaching search? You think those are two guys who definitely will be part of the coaching search as they maybe decide between the innovative offensive young play caller versus the guy who has experience and is going to command the room?
Yeah, I mean, both guys are super impressive. I think Ben Johnson for sure is probably in the mix. Joe Brady's a guy that you want to learn more about and take a look at. I don't walk away from having watched that game and it was entertaining, saying, boy, Joe Brady really outdueled Ben Johnson here. Like, the Lions for a couple weeks have been piecing it together on defense in a big, big way with so many guys out on that side of the ball. And that was even the case when the Bears were there a couple weeks back on Thanksgiving. Like, they were just kind of using dudes in a number of different spots on defense because they've been hit so hard by injuries. And then you see more players go down yesterday. And so I think that was something that was inevitable for the Lions. Can they rebound from that and get to a spot where they're not going to have to score 35, 38 or more points to win a playoff game? I don't know. We'll have to see. Aiden Hutchinson's not coming back anytime soon, right? It sounded like bad news on Aleem McNeil, the really talented and probably underrated defensive tackle. So Buffalo was able to go at a really depleted defense, and the Lions couldn't keep up. But those are two coaching names that I think will get attention from nearly every one of the teams that winds up in a coaching search next month.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. We know that Thomas Brown has a lot on his plate and a lot to do and a lot to correct from a week ago. How would you describe the scrutiny that Eric Washington is under? Does he go back to whatever the game plan was that Flusie had? And, they did a pretty decent job against the Vikings here in Chicago. I just don't know if that's going to work this time out.
Yeah, can you do a nice job against Justin Jefferson and not get picked apart by a bunch of other guys? Because it wasn't just Jordan Addison. T.J. Hockenson, the tight end, had a 100-yard game against him. I think Aaron Jones hit him for some big plays in that game. So that's really a challenge, is how do you prevent an offense with a bunch of different weapons from doing you in. Now you can't just not give extra attention to you let Justin Jefferson be like a regular wide receiver against you, and he's bound to go off for a buck 50. So, you know, I don't know what their answer will be there. They've got to do a better, it starts with stopping the run, right? I mean, it starts with stopping the run and putting the Vikings in a situation where they're not second and short or third and, you know, what can be a gimme. They've got to be a lot better in the red zone. That was really poor last week, and uncharacteristic, because the Bears have been so fantastic in the red zone. Say what you want about all the potential issues they've got on defense this season, they found a way to get it done in the red zone every week. And, you know, I was having a conversation with a guy I talked football about and recently here, and Tremaine Edmonds. You look at the body of work here through nearly two seasons, and they paid him an awful lot of money, $18 million a year on average on a four-year contract. And you're looking at it and you're saying, I'm not seeing the, like, impact plays that I think you would expect from a guy earning that kind of money, right? And I think everybody would probably agree with that. I'd also say that I think Edmonds is probably a decent part of their success in the red zone. When you talk about their ability, you know, going into last week's game, they were number two in the league in red zone defense. They were playing it really well. He's so tall and he's so long, and he can move, that I think he makes it really challenging for opposing quarterbacks as they're getting closer to the goal line. Am I justifying $18 million a year for Tremaine Edmonds? No, but I'm telling you, that's one of the things they're probably really getting from him, is he's a difficult guy to go against. And even after last week's Niners game, they're third in the league in red zone defense now.
All right, Brad, so kind of know which way you're leaning. What is your pick for tonight's game?
Yeah, I don't think many people are leaning toward the Bears in this one. And I'm certainly not leaning that way. I don't know how they keep this game super close. I picked Minnesota 34-21, and that was before I heard about the Braxton Jones news. I don't know that significantly changes things, but it's definitely going to make it more difficult for Caleb Williams and the Bears offense. I think they could be in for a rough one tonight.
What will be the best thing they do, Brad? I mean, when you just think of the Bears going on the road, Monday night game, can you say, well, they'll get the ball to this guy or they'll do something here? I just don't know what it would be.
The best thing would be not having a dreadful first half, right? Not getting the halftime and taking a look at it and saying, well, they've got 64 yards and three first downs, and they've punted three times, they've had a turnover, and they're down 17, right? I think you're looking for that fast start. Maybe they can't keep up, but it's been so difficult for them to get going offensively early in games this season. They've been outscored 63-20 in the first quarter of games, that I think that would be, you know, if you're talking about they can't spring an upset here, what would the next best thing be? How about solving for once anyway that fast start problem.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Enjoy the match.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. What did? Why do you look so pained?
The match?
Whatever. The game.
Would the match on the pitch? Better?
There was a good match on the pitch. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed.
I did not notice.
But the fine folks at United went to City, scored two goals in the final 5 minutes.
Excellent.
And won the Manchester Derby and made one of us very happy.
That's
over the
good.
Weekend.
I'm very happy.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It's tough. It's interesting, is the way I put it. I've never had a streak like this of losing in my playing. So I ask questions. You know, I do understand that. You know, this is one my first time kind of being a part of something like this of losing and this, you know, this streak going. So I ask questions to the guys that, you know, may have lost a bunch of games or in a row like this, or, you know, had losing seasons. I ask some questions because, you know, the more knowledge that I have prepares me for the future. If this ever, you know, comes close to, you know, something like this again, and I'm going to work hard and make sure it doesn't. But if it ever happens again, figuring out ways to, you know, keep going, keep pushing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the voice of Caleb Williams. He's been taught how to lose by the Bears, and mercifully, there's so many losers in the locker room, he has a lot of people to talk to about it.
That's rough when you have six players who have been part of five or more losing seasons, six veterans in that locker room. Unfortunately, it's not hard to find guys who can relate to what they're going through now. That's not the takeaway you want for his rookie season.
No.
And you want him to be surrounded by winning and winners. That's not the case this year. They are not going to have a winning season. They will not win more than they lost. They got rid of their coach as a result. That was weeks after they fired their offensive coordinator. So tonight, Monday Night Football, not exactly the nationally televised four-hour commercial for the Chicago Bears organization that we once thought it would be. And, by the way, rookie left tackle could be starting against the Minnesota Viking defense that at various times throughout this season has been referred to as the toughest in the NFL. Watch anyway.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you've got to take all that into account. You know, Brian Flores, we know, is an excellent defensive coordinator. There is more tape now on the Bears and their offense and what Thomas Brown likes to do than there was when the Bears faced them the last time. So I'm sure they've gone to work on it. I'm sure the Minnesota Vikings are going to have a professional plan in place, and they're going to come after the Bears. The Bears didn't run particularly well the first time, and they did pretty well running the football. I don't know how they're going to deal. I feel like they're locked into sort of a one-dimensional problem here, and unfortunately, that might not be the dimension you need to be good at against this particular team. It's just there seems to be a lot. Like, the Bears had maybe one of their best games of the year against the Vikings the last time they played them well. They knew them. They are divisional opponents. You play them a couple times a year. And we've seen them win in Minnesota before. It's not like they can't go up there and win the game. But at this point, given everything that's happened, it feels like two teams on completely different trajectories.
Well, because they are. And the Vikings, any chance of them looking past this game, I think, went out the window when the Lions lost. So now they are playing for something meaningful.
Yes.
They have aspirations. And you saw that last week, the difference in these two teams. Again, the signals keep on popping up. But last week on the same day, I think it was, the Bears announced they will go through walkthrough Wednesdays. And I get the protection of the players' health and safety, especially with a team with four guys who were concussed. I understand Thomas Brown saying that, planning it that way. But the Vikings, with the extra day, had a full padded practice because they're just getting ready. This is the preseason of their postseason, December, and they are getting ready for the playoffs. That's what happens when you have the right coach who understands quarterback play and gets the most out of his talent, and you hire the right defensive coordinator, and things are clicking in Minnesota in a way that they haven't clicked for a while in Chicago.
I'm just wondering when we talk about this and we talk about the Bears and the challenge they have now, I understand everything that's happened this year and how they wound up where they're at, but do you feel like when we look at these games that we're turning kind of, like, we don't see the possibility that we might have seen earlier in the year, that they have damaged themselves to a point where their psyche is damaged? And you know, the other element here, David, I thought your question to Biggs was really interesting, the idea that there are four guys in concussion protocol, three active players will not be able to play tonight. I got to be honest with you, I cover football for a long time. I do not remember a time where there were four players.
Nor do I.
Were all out.
That's why
with
I asked.
The concussion. I think it's a legitimate question. I think it's reflective of the fact that for so many years, NFL players ignored concussions, didn't deal with what the whole nature of what they're doing has changed to the point. I am convinced that there were times when four guys could have been out with concussions,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't. For whatever reason, the bravado with the game, I'm just going to play. I'm going to pretend like I don't have a concussion. It was a knee, and I'll just pretend like I'm fine so I don't miss any time. I think this is probably a good thing, but I honestly think that this was probably going on for a long time.
Well, I do wonder about the dynamics within every building in the NFL because we know they're different. And we also know that some medical staffs might be more sensitive and or less sensitive to things. Because I think everybody has a heightened sensitivity and awareness about concussion protocol and concussions in today's NFL and in football in general. But I do wonder if something about the Bears stands out about their diligence, about their awareness, about their protocol on a daily basis, weekly basis. Because again, it's all anecdotal,
yes.
We both have covered a lot of teams, and I just don't remember many seasons where there have been guys who have, this many guys who have been officially designated as in concussion protocol and have missed significant time because of it. And I just wonder, there's got to be numbers out there. I'm going to look into it, and I think I do, at some point in time, the Bears would behoove them to address it, because I do wonder, either they're, you know, and this is a, it's unfortunate they're missing time, but this is fortunate that they're addressing the issue if they are, in fact,
right.
You know, getting in front of it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I don't want anyone to misconstrue what we're saying. We both covered a ton of football, and we've both seen a lot of different teams over the years, and this is the first time I can recall that many concussions occurring simultaneously in a season. But I don't believe it's the first time it's happened. I don't condone ignoring brain injury, right? I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying that, oh, you know, in the old days you played through everything. I don't mean that.
You're not saying that at all. No.
I feel it's just like this is not – I don't think anything different is going on in the NFL. I just think there are more guys that are reporting – what their symptoms are, that are aware of the future of the game. You know, I know so many ex-NFL players, and I know so many who have told me that they hate it when something happens, someone has some concussional problems, and they're asked, hey, are you okay? Are you having any issues as you age out of the game.
Right.
But I think one of the reasons they might be so concerned about it is because they've been through it. And they have, at different points, played through injuries that now would not be a wise idea to play through. We know more about what happens to people if
it's a hard thing to face and confront.
I totally agree.
Especially after years of perhaps being in denial. And I don't mean that as a pun on league in denial. Remember, that was the documentary. And I think you look at some of the realities of today's league, and Brad's right. I mean, it is a violent game, and the violence is embraced. We heard Thomas Brown, before the Bears went out and looked soft against the 49ers, he was talking about violence.
Yeah.
And they didn't respond that way. But this is something that, they have been key players as well. You're talking about the heart and soul of the secondary, and Jaquan Brisker missing most of the season with concussions. You're talking about one of the most highly sought after offensive linemen that they brought to the team in Ryan Bates.
Yeah.
And now you've got Braxton Jones, a starting left tackle, 6 days later.
And you got your power running back.
And your power running back, your downhill short yardage running back. Yeah. So these are not insignificant losses. And it's not an irrelevant issue. So I do wonder, moving forward, we've got four games left beginning tonight. I do wonder how this plays out, and I do wonder about the further explanations about how many games they have lost to concussions this year.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the other element of it. It's not like people have a concussion and are back the next week. What we're seeing is guys missing a lot of games with it. And I'm not, once you get into concussion protocol, things change quite a bit. And it is outside the kind of, it's outside the regulations of the team. It comes down to independent doctors on the outside looking in. And so things change quite a bit. But I think that it's definitely a different kind of animal than it has been in the past in the NFL.
And you would hope that the criteria and the approach and the interpretation of things would be the same whether you were in a 7-game losing streak or 7-game winning streak.
That's what I wonder.
But I do wonder that.
I do. I wonder if the Bears are an outlier with all these concussions or if there are other teams going through it. And I wonder how, when you eventually look at this information, how you measure it by the record of the team.
It's very cynical to look at it that way, but it's also reality. And I do think you're more prone to report a concussion or symptoms related to a big hit that you took if you are in last place than if you are, on the verge of, or if you're on an 11-2 team.
Bears have been eliminated from the playoffs. There's not a lot to play for other than your job, other than you're on tape every week and you got to play as hard as you can. And if you want to move from this team elsewhere, you got to show good tape. And that's very important for everyone. You are being scrutinized every week you play. But it is just the reality of this league that some teams have a lot in front of them and other teams are pretty much done with their year. They're playing out a string. And let's hope the Bears are strong enough to not have these issues.
Well, there was a suggestion just based on they didn't have to say a word against the 49ers before or after that game. Just watch that game, and you would wonder about their commitment level to the rest of this season because there wasn't a whole lot of effort, energy, or enthusiasm to play the 49ers. And that wasn't what you expected from the interim head coach bounce.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's everything. And I know it's probably not the answer you're probably looking for. But I think there's always improvement when it comes to just the understanding of our entire offense. Again, it's one I was a part of, but also inherited. I'm trying to find some ways to kind of put some different wrinkles in here and there, but also just overall fundamental development when it comes to under center play, to the play action game, to reading defenses. But I mean, his natural God-given ability is why he's here. So I can't coach that. Nobody can. So I'm just trying to find ways to build with the skill set and the fundamentals and put them together to be the best he can be.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Thomas Brown. And remember, He is running another man's offense.
Okay. You remember that? Saying. Because he pointed it out.
Well, that's he's right. It's difficult. I mean, if he had been hired and brought in his own scheme,
yeah.
would it be different than what he's doing now?
Well, we wouldn't be in the situation, probably. We wouldn't be asking that question. But I did think it was interesting.
He wouldn't have been fired?
Well, I don't know that he would have been fired after the amount of time that Shane Waldron had here to prove himself and didn't. I thought it was very interesting that Thomas Brown subtly reminded everybody that this was the offense he inherited. It wasn't his offense. It's the one he inherited. So, basically, don't blame me.
Well, I mean, okay. So you find the coach bailing on the team?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what I heard.
It's not. No, the coach is not bailing on the team, but I do appreciate his being specific about what we're dealing with and watching here. It's fair to evaluate him on some of the things that he's doing as a head coach and a play caller, but it's also fair to remember that this is not his offense.
And it's you know, the real problem is they're not winning, so everybody, nope, you know, doesn't matter what happens, you're not winning, and that's it. And I don't know that he's got – I don't know that it's on him. I don't know – I mean, it's –
You can't put this on him.
No, the whole thing this is a train wreck.
This is a coaching issue. They took care of it. It's a roster issue. They're ignoring it. They're – well, not ignoring it. But it seems like Ryan Poles is going to be safe.
Yes.
Based on Kevin Warren's public declaration, even though – if you haven't already, you should go back and read Dan Wiederer in the Chicago Tribune on Friday. That was a deep dive, fairly objectively, into what the situation is with Ryan Poles moving forward.
All right. We got a lot of people who want to check in on various subjects. We'll get to everyone's call. We'll start with Marcus. He's on the road. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask y'all, man, Grant Crochet, you didn't know his market value until the beginning of the last season when he came off of IR. Do you all think that he would have had more market value during the trade deadline last year or what they got for him now?
No, I think what they got for him now is probably better than they could have hoped for at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think they got more for him now. I mean, think about the deal they made at the trade deadline. Did they get anything for it? It's just like
Miguel Vargas for Eric Fetty and Michael Kopech.
Yeah.
That's no.
And Tommy Pham.
That's right. And, yeah, that was.
And I mean, you got two minor leaguers, one of who came injured. And
the day after the trade deadline last year, I would think Chris Getz was a difficult one for him to talk about. When we talked to him Friday, he was giddy. And he should have been over the deal that he made with the Red Sox.
They got four of their own top 14 prospects out of that deal.
For a guy who is going to be potentially very good and an ace at the front of a rotation, but there is some injury risk associated with Garrett Crochet that you can't ignore.
Dave is on the south side. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I think that the Brian Flores storyline is really interesting. David, I commend you for your impassioned defense of the Flores candidacy. I heard that. And I also commend the McCaskies for diversity in their front office. I mean, pretty much at every level, it's noticeable. But I would really be astounded if they hired a man who's suing owners for race-based collusion. That was not my softball.
Yeah, that is as big a holdup as anything else. It's just the McCaskies and knowing how they've operated and how they want to be good partners and them hiring a guy that has got two separate lawsuits going with the league. Whether he were to drop them or not, I'm just saying it's just hard to imagine. That's all.
It's because of their non-confrontational nature that we are allowing that to be the likelihood of, and we're talking about it in those terms.
But
because if you're talking about just the most qualified football coach out there, which is really all the Chicago Bears should be worried about,
totally agree.
He's on the short list.
He should be on the short list. So should Vrabel. But I think they want to hire an offensive coach because they're worried about the quarterback.
I think they want to hire somebody who's not going to make waves and get along with everybody in the workplace.
Well, then that's absurd.
That's not absurd.
No, I'm not saying it's absurd. I think you're right, But I think that's an absurd thing to want.
Well, absurdity is what they specialize in.
But they should want the best coach they can get.
I agree.
And if people are uncomfortable with it, or if he makes you feel self-conscious, get out of the business.
Get out of the business. Football is a violent sport, but it's also a confrontational one. And coaches like to confront people.
You don't have to come at me with that. I know. Sorry. Kareem is on the south side. Hey, Kareem.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you? Love you. Love your show. Just had a quick comment. I can't agree with you more on what you guys just said about a coach and being non-confrontational. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh would have been the guy, man. You know, and for them not to go after him, just at least try to go after him in last year's offseason, okay, because he's that guy who's got the opinion. Okay, and they don't want a guy with an opinion. I don't understand it. I mean, what do they want? Are they looking for just some kind of mannequin just to sit there and, you know, take orders? I agree with you guys 100% on what you said. And I just had one more real quick comment. Watching Hard Knocks this year, you know, and I can't be the only one that feels like this, but the sense of excitement that we had when watching this kid, I mean, he's coming out of college, he's the best, and Again, they let us down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Thanks for the phone call, Kareem. That's why this feels such a long season. The expectations were so high.
Boy, it what a letdown. And I mean, I got a feeling we're not going to be getting much better tonight.
No.
But, well, it's okay. We'll dutifully lose a night's sleep and watch whatever occurs. Maybe we'll be surprised. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Brian Baldinger left. We got a lot to go. Mully and Haw on the score.